Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for hanging in here to the end of the section. It's always a challenge to be the last speaker. So today it will be my pleasure to present an overview of the recently released findings from Institute of Medicine Committee on physical activity and physical education in the school environment. I have no relationships to disclose. This report was released in May of this year and was widely embraced by the media. In addition to numerous print articles, 237 TV stories ran in just the first 24 hours. This report clearly outlines the evidence on the benefits of physical activity and physical education. Of course, it includes the numerous and well-known benefits of physical activity for physical health, including fitness, quality of life, and prevention of chronic disease. But it also presents the evidence for the less widely recognized, but actually very well documented benefits for mental health in terms of preventing and reducing symptoms of conditions such as anxiety and depression. This report also describes how physical activity, when specifically designed to do so, and that's the important piece, it has to be designed to get this outcome, can also confer psychosocial benefits. Such as improved self-efficacy, social interactions, and goal orientation. Of particular interest to the schools, and most important for the schools, are the benefits of physical activity for brain health. And this is some of the cutting-edge research in this report that clearly demonstrates physical activity's benefit for memory, time on task, and executive functioning, just to mention a few. Of course, what schools are really interested in are how all of these benefits can affect academic performance by increasing the odds that students will show up for class because they're healthy, be focused, behave appropriately, interact positively, and have optimal brain functioning. Based on this evidence, the committee concluded that physical activity is related not only to a healthier body, but also to enriched cognitive development and lifelong brain health. Active and fit children consistently outperform less active and unfit peers academically on both a short-term and long-term basis. And the benefits of additional time dedicated to physical education and other physical activities outweigh the benefits of exclusive utilization of school time for academic learning. And indeed, there is no evidence that cutting out physical activity or physical education is of any benefit to students academically, no matter how low-performing that school may be. Unfortunately, we know, but to ensure these maximum benefits, we're not just talking about MVPA. We don't just put kids on a treadmill for 60 minutes to get maximum benefit. We need to promote quality programming. That programming needs to align with predictable developmental changes in children. And it should include a varied regimen, which should include frequent bouts of physical activity throughout the day because of those well-documented short-term immediate effects that physical activity has on attention and focus. But those also need to be complemented by longer sessions where kids can learn skills and develop a deeper appreciation for physical activity. And ideally, it would include different types of physical activity. Quite to my surprise in this literature review was that even resistance training can confer these types of benefits, not just physical benefits. So having aerobic resistance, very different types of physical activity will guarantee a maximum benefit. And also including both structured and unstructured activities, because those both have benefits also, benefits that complement each other. But unfortunately, looking at this list, this is not what is currently happening either in or out of school. During the past 30 to 40 years, the volume and intensity of physical activity has declined. Few children in the U.S. meet the recommended standard of at least 60 minutes per day of MVPA. And therefore, you may ask, why are we just focusing in the schools if the program is both during school and out of school? And there are several reasons for that. First of all, that a large proportion of students' waking hours are spent in school. Schools are the easiest way to get to children because it's a captive population. There's no other place we can really get to all children. And perhaps the most important is that physical activity in school is the great equalizer. This is where we're going to reach kids regardless of socioeconomic status, whether or not they can afford to get on a sports team, whether or not it's safe for them to play in their neighborhood. All children of all levels can get physical activity at school. And very important also is that school-based strategies are evidence-based strategies, and the report outlines this, that physical education, recess, active transport to school, classroom physical activity have all been shown to increase physical activity in those settings and throughout the 24-hour day period, and many of them have also been shown to directly improve academic performance. Although and schools on average are not offering as much physical education and physical activity as recommended, although there's not very good surveillance data on the different types of physical activity at school, we did look at what was available and found that a very small fraction of MVPA that students are getting of MVPA that they could be getting through these different school-based activities. For example, currently, children are on average getting about 4 minutes of MVPA out of PE, 9 minutes from modified recess, 1 to 2 minutes on average is an average of all students, not just those that walk to school, for walk to school, whereas in the other column, the potential column, these are documented feasible amounts of minutes students could be getting from these various activities during the day, which, as you'll notice, will add up to more than the minutes that our committee recommends, so it's not that hard to do. Given this situation, the committee thoroughly reviewed the literature and, based on the totality of evidence, developed 6 key recommendations. We considered both the best available evidence but also the practicality of implementation so that we feel that all of these recommendations are feasible in the current environment. With the first recommendation, the committee adopted a whole-of-school approach, with quality physical education as the foundation, but also recognizing the need for additional opportunities and a school environment supportive of physical activity throughout the school day. With this in mind, we recommend that students get at least 60 minutes per day of moderate to vigorous physical activity at school, that at least half of this happen during the regular school hours so that we can reach all kids with at least half of this recommendation, that be composed of quality PE for 30 minutes a day at elementary schools and 45 minutes per day at secondary. That's for the total amount of PE time, with at least half of that being moderate to vigorous physical activity. And that there be additional opportunities for physical activity that would include at least recess and dedicated classroom physical activity time. And then the rest of the 60 minutes could be obtained from various additional opportunities before and after school, including active transport, before and after school programming, intra and extramural sports, et cetera, with the key being there that these be accessible to all students, because the data did show that most of these are not accessible to all students. Not that all students will ever participate in them, but every student who wants to should be able to be on a sports team, regardless of their ability, regardless of their socioeconomic status. All right, so you've heard of, I think I'll skip that slide. You've heard of health in every policy. Well, we're recommending physical activity in every policy, because the evidence indicates that multi-component, cross-sector interventions are the most effective. We can't, therefore, just take steps to provide physical education and recess. We really recommend a whole-of-school approach that requires decisions across sectors, decisions like where to put a new school, how to design a playground, how to schedule classes and breaks to get kids moving throughout the day. Therefore, we recommend that federal and state governments, school systems at all levels, city governments and city planners, and parent-teacher organizations should systematically consider access to and provision of physical activity in all policy decisions related to the school environment. The committee also recommends that because physical education is foundational for health, lifelong health and learning, that the U.S. Department of Education should designate physical education as a core subject. This recommendation is so important, and I've been in other committees where this has come up, because it is a driver of all the other policies. What rise to the top for administrators are these core subjects, and as long as physical education is not a core subject, change may not be made. Also, it will bring with it, this designation will bring with it requirements for qualified teachers, increased access for funding. Current monitoring systems for physical education and school physical activity are grossly inadequate, yet feedback and accountability are critical to ensure that policies don't just stay on the books but are effectively implemented. When schools are confronted with conflicting priorities, those for which they are held accountable tend to rise to the top. Therefore, we recommend that education and public health agencies at all government levels should develop and systematically deploy data systems to monitor policies and behaviors pertaining to physical activity and physical education in the school setting. However, we do recommend that schools not rely strictly on fitness testing. Fitness testing is not the best measure of a successful physical activity program, and neither are many behavioral measures, but they should also include measures of student achievement, teacher competency, and policy implementation. Colleges and universities, the literature clearly establishes that having an adequately trained teacher is a powerful determinant of successful physical education and physical activity programs. Therefore, our fifth recommendation is that colleges, universities, and continuing education programs should provide pre-service training and ongoing professional development opportunities for K-12 classroom and physical education teachers to enable them to embrace and promote physical activity across the curriculum. In addition to teachers, however, we also recognize the need for adequate training of administrators, because their support is so critical for policy change and effective implementation. Unfortunately, not all students get equal access to quality physical education or school grounds that support physical activity, or recess supervised by personnel trained to support physical activity, or streets that are safe for walking to school. In fact, physical education and active breaks are most likely to be cut in low-income schools where standardized test scores are low, but where students have the most to gain. And therefore, our sixth and final recommendation is that programs and policies at all levels address existing disparities in physical activity, and that all students at all schools have equal access to appropriate facilities and opportunities for physical activity and quality physical education. Some may question the feasibility of these recommendations, especially the 60 minutes per day in the school setting. They may worry that 60 minutes per day is unreasonable, that it is too costly, that PE will never be established as a core subject. But we actually have several examples that demonstrate, and these are in the report, that demonstrate the feasibility of daily PE and these other opportunities for physical activity in a wide variety of schools of various circumstances. We also know that physical education is already required in many states, so in many cases this is just implementing what's already on the books. Many other opportunities for physical activity at school require minimum ongoing costs. Recess, in-class physical activity are not expensive propositions, nor are they time-consuming. And in terms of policymakers, they are already responding. A bill has already, shortly after the report was released, a bill was introduced to designate physical and health education as core subjects. Also, I think it's important to note that schools do not have to do this alone. You can see, as demonstrated in this diagram, various sectors of the community can partner with schools to provide much-needed resources and a supportive community environment. Our report also provides tools for taking action, such as data for increasing awareness and garnering support, examples of programs and strategies, a bit of the how-to, and sources for resources, and potential actions for each recommendation. In closing, I would like to thank all the members of the committee for their hard work and valuable contributions, especially Amy Eiler, the co-author on this presentation, and Sandy Slater, who is in the audience. And if I can't answer all your questions, I'm sure that she would be happy to. I would also like to thank the wonderful Institute of Medicine staff, and of course, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, who funded this effort. So please visit the website. You can download a PDF of the report. The print copy is now available, and there are other materials there. And if you'd like to contact me, here is my contact information. And I think I will forgo the video. You can go. I have it on here, but I think you can go on yourself and watch the video. I will just open it up for questions. Right, so how would you work with a school that doesn't want to do these changes? I think that sometimes it starts first with that awareness. I'd encourage people to use the data that's in the report. I've actually heard from other sessions here that if you can get data from that school, that that's a very powerful thing. Try to start with some stakeholders in the community that are supportive. So if it's not the principal, go to the school board. If it's not the school board, go to the principal. Is there a PE instructor? There's almost always a teacher that's willing to be a champion for physical activity. I think all of those provide options. But you're starting at, I know the communities I work with, some are starting at that convincing stage. It's going to take them longer to make changes. But it can happen, and sometimes personnel change.
Sure. I think the awareness is there. We actually have a legislator who's proposing legislation to require 60 minutes of PE in Wisconsin. I don't want to take everybody's time talking about Wisconsin, but the argument comes back again and again. We don't have the money to hire more PE teachers. We don't have the space to conduct the classes. So I was just wondering if you had any creative suggestions.
Again, I refer to the report, and I think it is a question of priorities, whether they are going to designate funding for PE teachers. Maybe some of these policy changes would help make that more of a reality. So I think the policy change is an important support for individual schools to make that decision, because it does have to be a priority requirement because they do have limited resources. I don't know, Sandy, if you have anything to add to that.
You can be creative. I mean, in report, we go for the whole of school approach. I mean, PE is just one piece of that, and it's a very important piece, but if you can increase the amount of PE that you're getting, you can also make the time that they're in PE, make that more quality time. And then, there's other things that you suggest, like you can do active lessons or physical activity breaks within the classroom to add minutes of physical activity to the day. I mean, they can also try and implement more active travel to school, there's a lot of strategies for that. Walking school buses, there's a lot of low-cost things to make the routes to school more safe for the kids. So there's a lot of other ways to increase physical activity.
Some schools start with a grant, and although that won't fund PE teachers in the long term, sometimes it will show the benefits. And once they see the benefits, then the school is willing to support it when the grant funding is not available. So that's another option.
Well, thank you again. I want to thank all of our presenters for the great session. I don't know who this is.